Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Natural gas bills will be $46 a month higher compared to last year. The Gen 40 has dual hybrid technology and will reduce your heating bill every month and save you money. Save $50 on the Gen 40 with code HOWIE50 at EdenPureDeals.com.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is time for the 1 o'clock hour, and I am thrilled to get to some of these stories. But before I do, for this week only, we're offering BOGO on our Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirts. Right now, you can buy one t-shirt and get one free. It's two gifts for the price of one. You can't beat that. Offer is good while supplies last, so order at gracecurleyshow.com and just click on store. It's that easy. I wanted to give an update because a friend of mine who happens to be in this office just filled me in. Just think of anyone in this office who would be an expert at old Joe Biden cuts, who would know everything that Joe Biden has ever said because he's transcribed it before. I'm sorry, he or she, I shouldn't give away who it is. He or she has transcribed all of Joe Biden's gaffes, guffaws, you name it. And so this friend of mine told me that when Jen Psaki mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene and said, I will say her name, or however she phrased it, it could be because Psaki's old boss made a little mistake when trying to do that exact thing. Can I have the cut, Jared?
This is big spending of the same people that got $158,000 in PPP money, including the, what's her name? That woman who believes in the, anyway, a whole lot of Republicans that got a lot of money. The very people criticized.
What's her name? Maybe Psaki's just trying to dunk on her old boss and say, see, I remember her name. I'm not like Joe, but I doubt it. Speaking of Joe, though, he was up to something today, Jared. He was at an event with a lot of people.
Yeah, he welcomed the World Series champion Atlanta Braves to the White House.
And there was a lot of kids there.
Yes,
and
I guess they brought their kids with them. And so
he was taking photos with the kids.
Of course, he beelines for that. Yeah, he was actually on stage and said, anybody under 15, come here. And then so all the children of the staff and the team presumably came over, did a photo op, and then he kind of tried to show a jersey to this young kid who was maybe six, somewhere around there, and the kid was really kind of hesitant to
go near
to
Joe.
To get in there with Joe, but Joe had to slap the inside of his own thigh to pull the kid over, and it was creepy and gross, because that's what he does.
Well, before we talk about what's going on in Joe's White House today, I want to make a comment on the last hour. We were discussing the polls, we're discussing the midterms and also 2024, and you know what's going to play with voters. I think inflation is the big one. I don't think that's any surprise. I think people also are very fed up with what's happening at the border, what's happening in the crime wave across this country. And what I noticed is that the left is trying to distract us with this emotional guilt. You know, we had a guy call in last week and he said, I'm just so sick of feeling guilty. Like, I'm a bad person. I'm a racist. I'm a this, I'm a that. And all because I care about my country and all because I vote a certain way. And then as we were having that discussion, we started talking about Ron DeSantis, and a caller had asked me, if Trump were VP, who would you want to be president as Trump is VP? And he named a few people. I chose, and it was easy for me to choose Ron DeSantis because the others, Nikki Haley, I would never choose her to be president. Now, a texter responded to that and said, Grace, do you really think Trump would be happy being VP? Absolutely not. I was just kind of indulging the hypothetical.
And it's not just, again, DeSantis.
In no world do I think that Donald Trump would ever accept being vice president. It's president for Donald Trump or bust. And that's something I think I would bet on, is that he is not going to play vice president to anyone. Can you also imagine what he'd be like as a vice president? It would be insane, the amount of chaos that would be in a White House if someone trying to tell Trump what to do, or trying to hand him like some of the VP tasks. Oh, can you go to this luncheon in Nantucket and talk to people? He'd be out of his mind.
I'd be like if somebody tried to make Bill Belichick the quarterback's coach on their staff.
Yeah.
And give him orders. It's like, what are you talking about?
I wouldn't want to do that. I would be scared for anyone to do that. And so, no, I don't think that we're going to see that. But there is a big story out there today. And let me read you just a few of the details. If we're going to have this conversation about Trump versus DeSantis, Trump, this is from the Washington Examiner, Trump shared his opinions about his former ally to New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman, whom he spoke to in an on-the-record capacity 3 times as part of the research for her new book. Howie and I have always wondered what it is with Maggie Haberman that she continues to get these interviews with Trump. What this does tell me is that in some ways, Trump is never going to learn the lesson. And sure, you could argue, well, Grace, he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what to say to these reporters to get the headline out there. He's playing four-dimensional chess. I understand how people could see that. But I also understand how at a certain point you just stop talking to these people because they hate you and they're never going to write anything flattering. And I do think part of Trump thinks that he's someday going to get the same kind of coverage he got before he was president. That's not going to happen. So Haberman shared details of those conversations in an article for The Atlantic. Keep in mind, it's an article for The Atlantic. I don't think I have to say this to everyone, but take it with a massive grain of salt, okay? The 45th president called the Florida governor fat, phony, and whiny when Haberman asked him asked about him during a meeting late this summer at the Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey. Trump's comments were made around the same time as news emerged that DeSantis had raised more money since January of last year than himself or President Joe Biden. In addition to fundraising, DeSantis also leads the former president by an impressive 8 points in a USA Today Suffolk University poll that was asking Florida Republicans who they would vote for in a hypothetical primary. It's important to remember it's Florida. And Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida right now. Now, there's a lot of rumors that DeSantis is laying the groundwork out for 2024. But, Jared, do you believe that he called the Florida governor fat, phony, and whiny? It's weird because I don't think she would lie.
Yeah.
What I mean is if he sat down for an interview on the record.
Yeah, I find it hard to say that he would do that. But, I mean, he is Donald Trump, and he does kind of say what jumps into his head right away. And it depends on what the timing of this was. I know it said late this summer, but who knows what the context was, because that might be important. Yeah,
I don't know how much context we need for
that. That's the thing that, you know, Donald Trump, I mean,
he can be mean when he wants to be.
He can be mean, but like he said, he only has ever called Rosie O'Donnell fat. So I have to take him at his word on that he doesn't call people fat.
But he also, though, what I will add in is he tends to punch at people who've punched at him. And DeSantis hasn't said anything bad about Donald Trump.
No.
But maybe in Trump's head, now here's another angle. Sometimes I think what Trump considers an attack is if you're not vocally supportive enough. Like if you don't come out with statements making sure everyone knows that you support him. Maybe he takes that as not being friendly enough.
Maybe this was in relation to him not doing anything about the Mar-a-Lago raid. Maybe it was in that context. That's the only thing I can think of him not stepping in.
He may not have had any.
Yeah, he didn't have any jurisdiction to do that. So maybe in that context, I could see him.
I think
DeSantis should have stopped it. But that is literally the only context I could see.
We all know what this is actually about, is that he probably sees the writing on the wall. He sees that people are liking DeSantis. He sees the amount of press he's getting. He sees that Governor Gavin Newsom and other governors are focusing on DeSantis and not him. And Trump is someone who goes by the motto that all press is good press. And so if DeSantis is getting press, even if by the average person, it might seem like bad press. It's not glowing write-ups in the Washington Post. It's still press. And so Trump sees that and says, well, how come he's getting it and not me? So I think that's probably what it is. And yeah, but to answer that texter's question, no, I do not think Trump will ever want to be VP for anyone. Now, as we talk about our own theories, it's important that we share theories from the other side of the aisle. Chuck Todd has an interesting take on how illegal aliens could help solve the inflation crisis. I want to point out, Jared, remember the sheriff from San Antonio last week, from Behar County, who said that a lot of restaurants in Texas should just hire the illegal aliens because there's long waits for tables and they should just hire them and, you know, make the best of the situation. To which several people, including people on Twitter, people on social media, pointed out that to hire people who are here illegally is illegal and you'd have to pay them under the table. Well, Chuck Todd doesn't care about that either. So let's play Cut 9.
Welcome back, Data Download Time. Over the last few weeks, Republican governors have been shipping asylum seekers to more liberal-leaning Democratic enclaves, trying to send the message that they think migrants are a political problem for Democrats. But in fact, some data shows us that more migrants could actually help solve one of the country's most pressing problems. Let me show you the issue we've been dealing with. Even before the pandemic, migration in the United States had been slowing. We started the last decade at almost 700,000 migrants coming into this country in 2010. We hit a peak of just over a million in 2016 when Donald Trump got elected, and it dropped all the way down to 247,000 thanks to the pandemic. And you can see this labor force participation rate, it's been dropping. Pre-pandemic, we were at 63.4. We're still sitting at 62.4. One percentage point, by the way, represents 2.6 million people missing from this workforce. And guess where these workers are missing from? They're short 45,000 workers in Boston. They're short under 400,000 in New York.
Well,
they're
short 170,000. Hold on. Before he even gets into all these numbers and starts playing Goodwill Hunting for us and drawing equations on the board, when he says migration, like right there, I have an issue with this because I can't argue with someone if they're not being transparent about the facts. Are you talking about people who migrate here legally? Are those numbers of people who migrate here legally? Or are we talking about illegal immigration? Because again, hiring illegal aliens and paying them under the table, and oftentimes, I would say the majority of the time, yeah, I can get fact checked on this if there's a fact checker out there. Haven't seen any of you in about 3 years. But they're underpaid by employers. So that's the issue. Is he talking about legal migrants or is he talking about illegal aliens? Because that does make a big difference. And I think it would be helpful if he could clarify that. But his end point is that these migrants could actually be helping our labor force, which would help our supply chain, which could help inflation, according to Chuck Todd. I just have some follow-up questions for him, you know, that I think are important when discussing this new theory of his. But I'm sure I'll never get those answers. 844-500-4242. We also have Kamala Harris, the border czar, and she is giving us some insight into what's happening at the border. By no means am I trying to say that she's visited. It's been 15 months since she even got near the border. But she's wowing us with her brilliance, and we'll play that when we come back. Many of us think of Cape Cod as the place to be during the summer, but you know what? Fall and winter are super special too. I was just in Cape Cod this weekend. Off-season Cape Cod, the fall, it is just the best. The air is crisp, the leaves are beautiful, the beaches are gorgeous. You can enjoy everything, and it's a little less crowded, it's a little more cozy. It's just the best place to be. There's something truly magical and peaceful about staying oceanside during the off-season. So book your Nauset Beach Inn getaway today. Special winter rates from November through March 31st start at just $119.99 on weekdays, $149.99 a night on weekends. Overlooking Nauset Beach, the Nauset Beach Inn is the only lodging available inside the Cape Cod National Seashore. Every room commands a superb view of the great outer beach and the ever-changing sea. Here's another bonus. They're pet-friendly. Each room has two queen-size beds. And again, the rates from November through March 31st start at $119.99 on weekdays and $149.99 a night on weekends. You're not going to find a better price than that in the Cape off-season. Those off-season rates are still till the end of October. Reservations fill up quickly, so book early at NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. We'll be right back with your calls. 844-500-4242. We're talking illegal immigration, 2024, 2022 as well. Anything you want, we've got it on the table today. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Former Clinton pollster and advisor Mark Penn was on Fox's America's Newsroom today, and he said that the chances of President Biden pursuing a second term are nil if the Democrats are defeated in the midterm elections. I would agree with that.
Come
but a lot of these polls are telling us that it's neck and neck, and that Democrats are going to keep the Senate and may even keep the House. Do I believe that? No. But that's what the polls are saying.
No.
You know what I noticed, Jared, is every time I go on the New York Post or, you know, a lot of these sites I frequent, Chris Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, the brothers Cuomo are in the news a lot. Last week it was Andrew Cuomo bashing Joe Biden, which I say, you know, a little late, Andrew. You know, you're not winning any points.
Yes.
You're not winning any points with conservatives who you clearly now are trying to kind of get on their side by bringing up like cancel culture and how bad Joe Biden is. We don't want you either, Andrew. We don't want to sing Danny Boy. We don't want to, you know, we have no interest. This is the same guy who when he was the belle of the ball, when Joe Biden liked him, he was talking about, you know, having dinners with Joe. He had meatballs and spaghetti. Him and Fauci were... Joe Pesci, and you know, they were coming up all these.
You keep meatballs in your jacket?
Oh, he was the worst of the worst. And now he's trying to change his tune. Like, oh no, I hate Joe Biden too. Not going to work. Not going to work. That's not a get out of jail free card, bro. And then I see this New York Post story. Chris Cuomo interviewing brother on CNN was conflict of interest all day long. Congrats? Like, congrats, you guys are 2 years late to what we were all talking about.
They were wrong before they were right.
Should you get a Profiles in Courage Award? Should we keep the Cuomo Bridge the same name because of that? I don't think so. That, in the words of Shania, what do I always say? That don't impress me much. It's a little too late. Speaking of not impressed, though, did you see how Nancy Pelosi, Jared, was at the Global Citizens Music Fest in New York City? And she was talking last night, and I guess she got booed. It was in Central Park. It's always tough. I've mentioned this. It's always tough with booing because booing and cheering can sound a lot alike depending on the crowd and depending on the name of the person. Like, you ever go to a sports game?
Yeah, the famous Boog Powell incident of the New York Yankees in the 40s or whatever.
Or even remember Tuca. People would go, Tuca. Yep. And it sounds like he's getting booed, but he's actually...
Milan Lucic, same thing.
Yeah, they're actually getting cheers. I do believe that this was probably a boo. I don't think that there's a lot of...
I mean, unless they were saying, Pelosi, I can't figure out.
But nevertheless, she persisted. And she talked about how she's saving the planet. This is her new thing. She talked about how...
I thought she already saved the planet.
It will slash. She's talking about this big piece of legislation. It's a game changer. The master legislature wants you to know that it's a game changer. And she said it will slash carbon pollution by 40% by 2030. It will give a historic $370 billion to fight the climate crisis. Better water and air for our children. Better paying jobs and lower energy bills for their parents. It's for the children, in other words. I'm shocked that in New York this didn't gather a standing ovation. Instead, she was booed. I mean, people give out standing
o's. As it turns
o's.
Out, it was a setup.
She was set up. She was set up by someone, by one of her aides who had her speak there. And, you know, I can't emphasize enough how standing ovations are given out today like it's no big deal. People will stand for anything. People will stand for the trailers before the movie. There was like 16 standing ovations at Cannes this year. People are not... people are not picky about what they stand for. So if they're booing you, it's not good. It's not good, Nance. You'll get them next time, though, I'm sure. 844-500-4242. We've got a lot more sound to go to, and I want to take your calls. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Smithies, are they booing me?
No, they're saying boo-erns, boo-erns.
Are you saying boo or boo-erns?
Boo!
I was saying boo-erns.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi got booed. Have you ever been booed, Jared?
Not to my knowledge, but I can't hear the audience every day.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a one-way medium.
That's true. I've never been booed, but I'm not ruling it out just yet. I have a feeling it could be in my future. I want to talk about a story. This just came across my desk. It actually broke a few days ago, but it makes me laugh. Is it the most important story of the day? No. But does it bring me joy? Does it spark joy? Yes, it does. Because it reminds me of, this is one of the oldest tricks in the Democrat book. And in fact, it involves books. Everyone knows Katie Porter. She's a representative. She's a Democrat. She's a California Democrat. You might remember that I believe she was on with Lawrence O'Donnell. Larry, stop the hammering O'Donnell. Larry, I can't stand Howie Carr. He's not as tough as me, O'Donnell. And she talked about abortion and how it affects people. And she tied in inflation and what was truly a grotesque sound cut. But that's not why Katie Porter is in the news today. Katie Porter is in the news. And let me just read you this so I get everything correct here. California Democratic Representative Katie Porter, a former law professor who was paid more than $285,000 one year during her time at the University of California, Irvine, earned thousands of dollars in royalty fees from law school textbooks that she required her own students to purchase for the courses she taught. I love this move. I mean, in the book of grift, in the book of scams, this one for some reason makes me laugh so hard. There's something hilarious about Katie Porter looking at a group of students and saying, don't forget you have to get this book. And remember when you were in school, Jared, books were the worst. I could do an entire segment on this. It used to drive me nuts, okay? This is what they tell you. They'd say, okay, look at your syllabus. For this semester, you need this book. The books are $150. And then you say, well, can I buy it off of someone from last year? Oh, no, they changed the book drastically. So they updated it. They maybe changed like one sentence on the 85th page, but everyone had to buy a new book. When I tell you that in college, I didn't buy any books. I would photocopy people's books if I needed to. I would, you know, there was just no way that I was buying these books. They were the biggest scam going. And the idea that a teacher would look at me and say, you need to have this book. And then I look at the author and it's the teacher. I would be like, it's not my job to foot your bills even more than I already am. You're making $285,000 a year for teaching four courses, and I gotta buy your crappy book?
Can't buy your own copies of your book to get on the New York Times bestseller, Grace. Come on.
This reminds me of one of my favorite stories, Catherine Pugh. Remember the Baltimore mayor? She had to resign. She earned thousands of dollars through sales of Healthy Holly books to city-linked public entities. That was like a children's book, Healthy Holly. And it's crazy because when we first started working at the Howie Carr Radio Network, you have to buy a complete set of Howie's books. And I even thought that was a little unfair. I said, seriously, bro? You need me to buy all these?
It was on the syllabus.
He said, it's on the syllabus. You're not going to pass my class unless you have all of these books. I'm kidding, of course.
We just had to buy Ratman. It wasn't all of his books.
You could choose one. But this is, I don't know why, this makes me laugh so hard. She's now seeking re-election, and she was paid $286,674 to teach two courses per semester at the institution. Thank God. I mean, only $286,000. Thank God she had some of the royalties from those books that she was making her poor students buy. And I'm sure she is one of the people who is just sounding the alarm about student loan debt. We need to cancel student loan debt. This is so unfair. I'm sure she talks to her students about it all the time. And then she says, all right, flip to page 56 of the book with my face on it.
That is a great campaign strategy. Where do you stand? Well, you got to buy my book to find out. Where do you stand on this? Oh, it's all in my book. Just go buy my book.
I wonder if her entire class, like the 45-minute class that she gets paid thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to teach, I wonder if it's like a big QVC commercial. She's like, and if you want to find out more about that, I've got a new book coming out. You can pay in installments. Just $19.99 a week for a few months, and you could have it. There might even be a guide to the final exam on the last page if you're really willing to spend some money. Just ridiculous. And I know it's not. I know that this is not uncommon. I know this is not the first time it's happened where a professor has made students buy their book and then has enriched themselves. It doesn't surprise me. Please, I'm not that naive. But it does make me giggle. It does. Especially.
The bonus question is, what's my favorite soup? It's in the book.
These are some of the nuggets that you'll only get if you read my book. Jared, can you Google where Katie Porter stands on student loan debt, on the cancellation of student loan debt? How do I know? She might be vehemently opposed to canceling student loan debt, but somehow I doubt it. Before we move on from the conversation around student loan debt.
Shockingly, she introduced a bipartisan bill to provide student loan debt relief.
What about not buying your book relief? What about please don't make me buy any more of your books relief? Can we get a bill on that, Katie? Would you sign off on it? It might be helpful. Hey, before we move on from student loan debt, though, this actually was weaved into one of Kamala Harris's answers recently. She tied this into a different topic. She tied it into the conversation around Latinos and how Democrats have lost touch with the Latino base. And a lot of Hispanic voters are leaving the Democrat Party. This is Cut 5.
Do you think that your party, the Democrat Party, has lost touch with Latinos?
I will tell you, I have been so proud to be here with Latino leaders in Milwaukee talking about the work that we have done as an administration that has been focused on the Latino population. I'm here at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I've been meeting with students, and these Latino leaders know and have thanked us for the work that we have done to relieve student loan debt.
Okay.
I mean, my Latino friends here like it, so I think we're good, is basically what she said.
Yeah, I think the student loan debt conversation, I think that whole idea that it's going to make people happy is so short-sighted. I think it's going to backfire on Democrats in such a big way.
I'm sure all the Democrat officials who are getting overrun on the border towns flipping to the Republican Party, including the voters, I'm sure they're so overwhelmed by the student debt relief that they're not getting.
Well, you know what's interesting, too, is I've said before how we're approaching the season, and I hate this season. Not pumpkin spice latte season. Like I said, if that's your thing, enjoy.
Enjoy your gourd drink.
As Taylor said. Yeah. No, it's the season of celebrities telling me how to vote, making these PSAs where they tell me how to vote. It's just the most painful thing. But something that occurs every single time Democrats are telling you who to vote for is they have to remind you that this could be the last time. It's like a Rolling Stones concert. You know, this could be the last time you're even able to vote because Republicans are going to destroy the country. We came so close when that man with the horns walked around the Capitol. We came so close. So listen to this. This is Fernand Amandi, American University professor, and this is what he had to say on MSNBC Cut 4.
And I think if we're able to capture and hold on to the Senate and maybe even hold on to the House, it's going to be because Black voters, Hispanic voters, Asian voters, all of those voters across the spectrum of this rising majority turned out. Because the truth of the matter is, Tiffany, if they don't take the opportunity to vote in this election, they may not have an opportunity to vote again in a free and fair election. Those really are the stakes. I don't think any of us can stress enough. If the Republicans capture either houses of Congress, they are committed to undoing democracy.
All right. This is starting to sound... And you remember when Charlemagne the God said this? He said, I do not want to hear again that minorities have to vote for Democrats or else. I'm paraphrasing here, but it was very similar to that. Like, it gets so old. And I heard a great quote the other day from Kanye West. He said, when I didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, they said, oh, well, you should want to vote for Hillary Clinton because of this or that or whatever. And then he said, and then when I wanted to vote for Trump, they said, well, you're a Christian. Trump's not very Christian-like. And Kanye said, so last year you were telling me who to vote for because I was black. And you think you know who I should vote for because I'm black. And then another year goes by, you're telling me to vote for who to vote for because I'm Christian. And I just think that black voters, Hispanic voters, people are getting sick of this. People are getting sick of being told, you have to do this or else. Or else what? Or else inflation's going to get higher? Or else the border's going to be more overrun? Or else crime's going to get worse? If a Republican is elected, that's what we're supposed to believe? I don't think anybody believes that. Rob, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Grace. Rob from Weymouth. Been listening to RKO since I was an on-the-road salesman in the 1980s, back to Jerry Williams. But my brothers and I went to UMass Boston on Pell Grants and such, student aid, in the 1980s. And we would go to the bookstore, and they would be... at that time, you know, $35-$50 each, which at the time was beyond our budget. So we would either read the book over a weekend and return it, Xerox the parts that we thought were necessary. But there were books also written by professors. They were expensive for us, and there were some that we never, ever used. So this goes back, you know, I can't do the math in my head, but, you know, 30, 40 years, and it's like you said, still happening.
Yeah, it happened when I was in school. I remember there was one teacher who wrote a book, and he was an English teacher or something. We had to buy the book that he wrote, and it wasn't expensive. It was like a, you know, vampire book or something, so I didn't mind. That was one of the books I actually probably bought. But in general, I think making people buy these giant textbooks is ridiculous to begin with. But then for you to make them buy a book that you wrote, so you get paid off of it, and then meanwhile you're getting paid over $200,000, over $250,000 to teach there. And then, just to add the cherry on top, you turn around and say, we should really cancel student loan debt. Oh, how rich. How nice of you. 844-500-4242. We will continue this conversation when we get back. Something I want to file under no more mean tweets is how much the market has gone down since Biden took office. We'll play this sound from Fox for you when we return. 844-500-4242. We've also got Bill Broussard coming up in the 2 o'clock, and I'm looking at Fox right now. It says lack of electric car infrastructure poses problems. That could be a good little conversation to have with Bill Broussard from JP Auto Care. We will be right back with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. The Democrats have been going on this speaking tour where they brag about how much of your money they have spent. And I want to discuss that because I think there's a number we should all be paying attention to that you're not going to hear Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi or Gavin Newsom or any of the heavy hitters in the Democrat Party discuss. But before we talk about that, today's poll question is brought to you by JJ Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com, especially right now. The market's getting a little iffy. People are getting nervous. You want to go somewhere where you can trust the process and you can get all of the money that you are capable of getting. And that is definitely JJ Manning. So go to jjmanning.com or just call 800-521-0111.
And with 6.5 and percent rates on mortgages, you want to talk to a professional before
Absolutely.
You do anything.
Absolutely. That's never a bad idea. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Besides inflation, what's your top voting issue for the midterms? The border, crime, education, or abortion?
I'm going to say the border. I do think I do think crime is a big one. I don't think the Republicans are hitting that hard enough. I don't think Kevin McCarthy is really focused on that enough. And some of these ads I'm seeing, they need to talk about it more. Especially you look at videos like out of Philadelphia. I mentioned the Wawa in Philadelphia. Just really, really, it's out of control. And now's the time to pounce and seize and weaponize and hammer that. Because people are scared. People, especially in the big cities, they don't want to go out. And when people don't go out, when people stop using public transportation to go downtown or they cut back and they don't go places, a lot of businesses suffer. Retail suffers. Restaurants suffer. You know, the entire quality of life of these cities where a lot of people pay a premium so they can enjoy the social aspects of these cities, everything goes down. And Republicans need to focus on that. So I'm going... But with that being said, I'm going to vote for the border because I just can't believe how amazing it's been watching the Democrats deny this for so long, only to have to finally admit it once 50 illegal aliens showed up in Edgartown. So I'm going to say the border.
76% say the border, 21% for crime, 2% for education, and 1% for abortion.
Like I mentioned, though, the Democrats are talking a lot about their spending. Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, they talk about the $369 billion that they spent on this climate bill. Joe talks about the American Rescue Plan. Money, 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 money. It's all your money, and they're spending it like drunken sailors, and they're so proud of it because it's made your life even more expensive. Somehow it's defied the odds, and spending all this money has made everything worse. Now, here's a number you won't hear from them, though. When they talk about the billions and trillions of dollars they spent, you won't hear this cut from Fox. This is cut 8, please, Jared.
The markets are set to open after an absolutely brutal week on Wall Street. Stocks now down $7.6 trillion since President Biden took office.
If he was like that other guy before him, he'd be bragging about the stock market, but that's not what he's going to do. He doesn't do that. He doesn't brag about
the stock
market.
Thank you all for being here, and I want you to enjoy the rest of your session.
Let's also take a listen to Powell talking about the soft landing. Now, this is another thing that has transitioned over time. Remember, inflation was transitory until it wasn't. Well, the landing we were going to make was soft until suddenly, unexpectedly, out of the blue, we have to brace for impact because said soft landing turned hard. This is a cut 10.
We have always understood that restoring price stability while achieving a relatively modest decline, a rather increase in unemployment and a soft landing would be very challenging. And we don't know. No one knows whether this process will lead to a recession or if so, how significant that recession would be. That's going to depend on how quickly wage and price inflation pressures come down, whether expectations remain anchored, and whether, you know, also do we get more labor supply, which would help as well. In addition, the chances of a soft landing are likely to diminish to the extent that policy needs to be more restrictive.
All right, pause there.
More restrictive for longer.
My favorite thing with Democrats is how they have all the answers to everything until, and I know this is Powell, so I'm not saying him, but in general, whenever you hear the narrative start to shift to, well, no one knows, you know, we don't have a crystal ball, we don't have a magic wand, who's to say really? That's when you know things are getting tough for the Dems. All right, everyone. When we come back, Bill Broussard from JB Auto Care will be here. So get on the lines now with all your car questions. 844-500-4242.